You're listening to the show that can help you with your sleep. It's the Sleep Show on the Talk of Connecticut with Dr. Bethany Brenner from Burlington Dental in Burlington, Connecticut. Dr. Brenner was selected as a top dentist by the Connecticut Magazine, recognized by Continental Who's Who as a top dentist for Connecticut for her role as an owner and dentist at Bethany B. Brenner DMD LLC, and for her outstanding of obtaining her mastership in Exclusion Time Reduction, DTR. She is the fourth person in the world to receive this title. But this show is about your sleep. If you have any issues sleeping with restless nights, as anyone knows who doesn't get the proper night's sleep, it throws off your whole day and your overall health. You can always get in touch with Dr. Bethany Brenner by emailing drbrennerradio@gmail.com or by calling 860-673-7255. That's 860-673-7155. You can also visit burlingtondentist.com. Now, Dr. Brenner. Good morning and welcome to the Sleep Show along with Dr. Bethany Brenner. I am Gary Byron. By the way, you can go online to theburlingtondentist.com, theburlingtondentist.com, and write down his phone number. I don't want you to miss the show. Okay, so, but I want you to write it down so at the conclusion, you can give it a call. 860-673-7155. 860-673-7155. But incidentally, if you missed any of those points of contact, no worries. I am going to give it to you at least two more times before the show is over. Doc, nice to see you.
Yeah, you too.
How have you been? How's your week?
My weeks are always jammed.
Are they?
Yeah.
I've always you like it like that, though.
Yeah, my mother used to say you're not happy unless your hair's on fire. Well, I'm like you. We have a busy life, right?
We do. And we love what we do for our work.
Yeah, and we also enrich it with a lot of friends, and I get together with people. And so, you know, things like going to the Big E.
You strike me as a very social person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am.
I could tell. I knew the answer to that question before I asked you. Oh, you know what I wanted to ask you last week? And we got right out of the gates. I mean, we started getting right into things. Your dentist, do you look at people's teeth when you meet them?
Yep.
Is that automatic?
Yep. Waitresses, airline stewardesses. Oh, yeah. Everybody.
Everybody. Okay.
And I can pick out the fake teeth. There's a lot of clues to the face and the facial structure. So I see the asymmetries and people don't realize it, but even as a young child, the bones in your head actually shift around. So I can see why do your ears stick out? Why do your ears flat to your head? Right? Yeah.
Mm. Just thought it was genetic.
No. It's how the structures of the bones kind of lay against each other. And so those actually change where the palate is. It changes the back of the throat. Yeah, there's a lot to do with posture, facial structures.
Kidding.
Yeah. So
no braces for yours truly. Never had them.
You're lucky.
My teeth are natural.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I am. You're right. And I've always had compliments on my teeth. Always. Yeah.
So there's a good chance you breastfed when you were a kid.
Couldn't tell you.
Well, your mother would know.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Yeah. Well, of course you don't. I know. But when I see young women out breastfeeding their babies, it's a really, it's a very important thing. And we never thought it was really about the position of the face or the development of the face. We thought it was just a mother's milk important thing, right? So, of course, in the 50s, they came out with infant formula. You know, Gerber was really big on that. And, you know, the picture of the baby on the food jars. And you don't need to, you know, breastfeed. Let's go and give them the bottle, right? So a lot of people stopped doing that. And we've started to develop very narrow faces, very narrow palates, and we see more crooked teeth.
Really?
Yeah. So this has happened because either there were other issues why the woman couldn't breastfeed, but there are, you know, a lot of people think, oh, I'll breastfeed for 2-3 months and that should do it. And it goes a little beyond that. So it's hard. And it's hard for women to breastfeed. You know, especially if they're working, they get 3 months off from a job and then they have to go back to work. So, yeah.
Moving to sleep. We talked a little bit about blue screens and computers and televisions on. And you might want to keep your radio on, though.
We're not television. We're not a screen. We just put it's the soothing sounds of the overnight. Your pillow, your bed itself. You hear about Sleep Number beds. You hear about memory foam. Yep. You hear about certain pillows that there's a guy on television who loves to sell pillows. And
right.
Does any of that contribute to, I'll rephrase that. Can that all affect how well a person sleeps?
So the answer, it depends on the person.
Okay.
So for people who have had car accidents, knee, hip, back, neck, any of your joints that are bothering you, got arthritis, and let's say they've been in a car accident, they have whiplash, maybe they've had spinal surgeries, you're going to find that the regular pillows, they can't push them and pull them and fluff them so that they work well. So they don't support the neck. So when you see the pillows that help align the cervical spine, right, they tend to be better. And you can go on Amazon and you can read all the reviews because people will tell you whether it helped them or didn't help them. So, oh, my God, I really slept the first time I've had no pain, blah, blah, blah. Because those pillows, while you're sleeping, change their shape when you turn and move around, right? And you can get the restless sleeper. People, we call it restless leg syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's a good indicator that you have sleep issues, okay? And there are certain deficiencies in supplements that we tend to see with those people. But I often ask parents with their children, are they like all over the bed? Are the covers all over the place? You know, are they in the same position? Are they upside down on the bed? Okay. So, yes. Yeah. So for children, you want to think of a flatter pillow. For the adults, and I get people that are sleeping on 2 and 3, they're actually pushing their neck down. So as you push your neck down, you're actually closing off your airway a little more.
So, oh, wait. So don't sleep with 2 or 3 pillows?
So
one, just use one?
Well, it depends on the person. So what's the sleeping issue? Is it breathing through the nose?
Yeah, you talked about that a few weeks
ago. So breathing through the nose is really important.
Yeah, you encourage that.
Absolutely, yeah. And so when that happens, and so they push their neck into a bad position because their head is now chin to chest, you've closed off that airway. We talked about, remember when you're doing CPR, you do a chin tilt, you lift it up, right? So when you're doing that in bedtime, you're actually going to have more sleep apneic events, more than likely. So we call it positional sleeping. Some people sleep on their backs all the time. Well, the jaw falls back, you open the mouth, you're going to snore, or you're going to have more obstructive events. So the pillow can help keep you in a better position, okay? So it depends on the individual.
Wow. How about ENTs? I hope they don't really help, do they?
They try. They really do. I mean, they mean well. Many years ago, I sent people to them to say, okay, can you help them breathe better? They give them a nasal spray. Well, there's no surgery they can do. There's no polyps and cancers. But they can't open up the airflow, right? Only a dentist can help you open up that airflow. So we like to think we can measure that airflow. So I used to be really big on that, and then I began to realize that really it's the quality of the breathing at night, because what you do during the day and how you breathe during the day is very different than what you do at night.
Before meeting you, if somebody, the subject of my terrible sleeping habits, my lack of sleep, it's come up on the morning show a number of times, and I'm glad you've corrected this, because I'm sure other people have thought this as well. I've always thought I should go see an ear, nose, and throat doctor. I always thought that would be more associated with sleep than a dentist. Obviously, I'm very wrong.
Well, no, you have sleep physicians, okay? So those guys...
Sleep doctors.
Right. They're specialized in sleep medicine. They're the ones that typically put you on a CPAP or do the sleep testing, okay? But they are dealing with the ones, I'm going to say, like narcolepsy and unretractable insomnia, like people who can't go to sleep until like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and they just sit there. But they're the ones that tend to have to try to figure that out. So I say to patients, when you're sitting there at 11 and 12 o'clock and you can't go to sleep, right? And you've got, like, kind of like what you do, what's the reason for that? And oftentimes our brain is smarter than we think and it's going, yeah, don't go to sleep because you're going to suffocate. Okay? That keeps you awake. It really forces you to not go to sleep because they know you're going to have a problem when you're sleeping. So if you don't sleep test, and I have people that come in who have been told by their primary cares, no, you don't need a sleep test. You're not overweight. You're not this. You're not that. You don't have this. You don't have that. And I have children that have sleep apnea. They don't have any health issues either. Okay? They don't have high blood pressure. They don't have high cholesterol. They don't have, you know, they haven't gained weight. So, but you can be skinny and still have sleep apnea. I have people who structurally we can't fix. The posterior part that connects from your nose down your throat, is so narrow.
Could a surgery correct
that? No, they can't correct
it. Oh, they can't correct it neither. Oh, boy.
No. Then, so I deal with certain ENTs that understand airway. But once again, it's typically not a surgery case. I have some people that have had polyps in their nose. And when I see people blow their nose so hard, like it's like you're practically tooting the horn. It's sort of the cartoon character. They develop irritation from blowing their nose so hard that they actually can develop the polyps with that. And they don't believe it. It's like, I have to blow my nose like this. And I'm like, stop doing that. You're causing such a vibration that there's going to be a reaction of the tissues. So it's a, I don't want to say common sense thing, but there are people that manage and do fine. Then we have allergies. Okay. So we're living in the Connecticut Valley allergy season. You know, this is Connecticut. So you get the heavy pollen in the spring because we go from winter to summer in like a blink.
Right.
And then you have the, oh, I'm bothered by what's ever indoors, cats, dogs, other elements that get, you know, the, what they call it, VOCs that they put off into the house. So, and then I have people with, they're allergic to mold and they don't know there's mold in their house. So they have mold on the leaves and the trees in the fall, which is typically what I have an issue to. So, and this year, because we've been so dry, we didn't have a lot of rain all summer long. I'm like, wow, I'm doing pretty good. This is my first year where I'm like not overly bothered. So we have to deal with the why does your nose swell up, okay? And so the nose can swell up from food. It can swell up from allergies. It can swell up from
medications.
Medication, food in particular swells the nose up. Most of the medications actually help open you up if we're doing it right, okay? So that's where the ENTs try to help you. They give you a nasal spray, right? But it's typically, I want to say, like a generic, like a Flonase, something along that line, which now you can buy over the counter, right? So those help, but they've got a mild steroid in them, okay? So they keep you open all night long. There are daytime sprays, like it looks like X-Lear. The Scandinavians pronounce it clear. And that particular one will keep you open for a couple of hours, and it's a natural, all-natural saline spray. And you say, well, why would that do that? Because it's able to shrink down the soft tissues in the nose. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons why we struggle to breathe through the nose. And I will tell you, 99% of people who come in, I go, how do you breathe? Oh, I breathe fine. Then I test them, and nope, they can't breathe fine. So there's a nasal valve. And interesting to me is that most ENTs do not even know where that is. They're not taught that structure because there's no surgery they can do for it. So
are there supplements?
So certain things that will help with allergies are things like resveratrol or grapeseed extract. Okay, so we're getting into the supplement world, right? Those can actually help dampen down the histamine release, which is what swells our nose up. Right? So that's why they're called an antihistamine. Mm-hmm. The drugs, the medical drugs like Allegra, Zyrtec, those kinds of medications, they're swallowed. Okay, now that affects your central nervous system and your other tissues. So there's little side effects with that. It dries people's mouths out, and then I'm starting to see more cavities. I try to get people off of those if I can, and get them to flush the nose. So there's a way to flush the nose that draws the pollen and allergens out of the nose and then opens you wide open. And so you can breathe better. But it still only lasts a couple of hours. But if you're in a job, like in a dirty factory where there's a lot of dust and pollutants, if you're on a job out in the field and you're harvesting and there's a lot of debris that gets fluffed up into the air so you're breathing it, people like firemen they've got a lot of chemicals that they use at a fire scene, right?
Yeah.
And we know some of those people have problems with it. So it really depends on the environment and the job. But flushing their noses would be very helpful. Now, on TV, you see Navage.
Right. Yes.
You ever use one?
No. It looks bulky.
Well, it's bulky, but it's people who say to it, goes, oh, my God, it sucks the breath right out of you. Okay.
Yeah, good little second would do that too.
And I watched Dr. Oz do this on TV. It was hilarious because he didn't know, right? He does it, and he couldn't wait to get it off of his face. And he was like, well, that was interesting. He didn't comment much more than that because it really creates a suction pressure, and it sucks it up one nostril and then, you know, into the machine down through the other. Yeah, exactly. So some people will tell you it does help them. But they're few and far between because the sensation is so overwhelming.
What about your overall health? That's got to be significant.
Oh, yeah. But it's like, we're now that's where I'm Sherlock Holmes, because now I've got to get into their lifestyle. What do you eat? When do you eat it? What do you typically like? You know, and people, I have to do a food diary with them because they don't have a clue what they're eating. And they just go to the store and buy it. Like, oh, I just stopped in and got a grinder. Or I went over here and got a pre-made dinner. Well, what's in it? I don't know. It was good, right?
Exercise, that's part of fitness and health.
Exercise is very helpful, yeah. You know, once again, when you have a sleep apneic event, we're stressing the heart because we're asking it to pump against where you're not getting enough oxygen. And so blood flow is diminished, not diminished so much, but their ability to pump. So the more you stress the heart with holding your breath for long periods of time and oxygen desaturating, the heart will gradually get enlarged over time.
So don't hold your breath.
Well, you get these people that do it on a regular basis. You think about
swimmers.
Right, swimmers. Yeah. And so one of the young men I had as a patient many years ago was he was really headed for an athletic scholarship. I think he got one to college, and then maybe they were looking at him for Olympic competition. The trouble is he got headaches because he held his breath so long. He would win, but he started really holding his breath for too long. So the coaches are saying to him, you have to change what you're doing here.
Wow.
Yeah. So when you don't, yeah. So there's a lot of, everybody has different quirks.
Folks, you are listening to The Sleep Show. Do you have an email address? Or do you prefer the phone call?
Yeah, the phone call. Because we're so overloaded with emails.
Okay.
Unless I set up a different email for people to call into. And I can do that. I'll try to do that for the next time.
You know, we're going to do something on this show maybe a few weeks down the road. And that maybe we can take some emails from
yeah,
people at some
point.
Yeah,
why don't I do that for the next show?
Yeah, that's great.
I'll set up an email.
In the meantime, you can go online to theburlingtondentist.com. You can always do that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And the phone number is 860-673-7155. 860-673-7155. You prefer the phone.
We have an opportunity to answer some questions because people usually have questions.
You know what I like about the phone call? As opposed to an email, I get the convenience of the email. You know, sometimes you only have a second and, you know, you don't have time for a long phone call. But what I like about the phone call is I can ask a follow-up question or two and get an immediate answer as opposed to this ping pong back and forth. Maybe it's a day. Maybe you don't read it for 2 days. And it's like, oh, yeah, when did I get this email? So,
well, and sometimes we get a weird question, weird, just unique for that individual. And so my staff will come to me and go, maybe you should talk to this person. So I'll get on the phone for a minute or two. And they're like, oh, you explained it so well. Okay. And then they'll make an appointment. And sometimes I have people that are calling you know, I find out they're in Wisconsin or California. And then I'm like, okay, so I'm not in your state.
You mentioned, in fact, you've done this a couple of times this morning already. And I believe even last week you mentioned gut health. Does gut health really impact your sleep that much?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is that? How's that so?
So we all have bacteria that live in our gut, right? We call that the microbiome. And they like certain foods that then they can flourish. So what do they do? So we have this long nerve called the vagus nerve that goes from our brain to our gut. So mood, depression, anxiety, how we feel about ourselves is all related to what you're eating. So people with depression and anxiety, one of the things that I really try to get them to up are their omega-3s, right? We need more either to take it as a supplement or eat more fresh caught, what I'll call like cod
fish?
And salmon
yeah.
type of fish, right? Not the tilapia, not the catfish. I had one of patients say, I like those. I'm like, they're bottom feeders. All the toxins that they eat are going to go into you.
How about haddock? Is that?
Haddock's not bad. Sea bass, you know, those okay. tend to be cold water fish. So, and the guys who like to go out fishing, they know where they've caught the fish, right? And fresh fish is always good. It has
sure.
some. Just the ones that are a little bit more concentrated with the omega-3s are your real super cold water fish, okay? So all fish is, I'm going to say, equally good. It's just if you can get more omega-3. So the omega-3s actually help with bringing down anxiety and depression. And you would think, why don't more physicians talk about that? Well, they do. Oh. They do, but people are going, ooh, fish oil, right? Or I get the I burp it. And I'm like, so they make enteric-encoded fish oil capsules.
Wait, there are side effects to fish oil?
All good.
Yeah.
All good.
I was going to say, I always thought it was all good. I didn't hear any negative.
Yeah, but I have people that say they burp it up after they take the supplements.
Okay.
So they don't like the regurgitation of fish oil. And so those are fairly rare. Most of the people I know do pretty well. And if you take a quality fish oil and you want to make sure that's molecularly distilled and properly, the press that they do on the fish to get the oil is done in a way so that they're screened from all the toxins and the PCBs, because some of the fish are not okay. They're not healthy fish. The closer you're to shore, you're going to get some more of that versus way out deep in the ocean. So
you brought up TMJ earlier. People get confused about TMJ versus some other pain in their face and in their head, but they're all kind of, are they all related? Are they all interconnected?
So this is where I have to play Sherlock Holmes, right? I have to figure it out.
Right.
So,
that's right.
And they all come in and they think they've been told by somebody that it's TMJ.
Yeah.
And then they hope that that's a TMJ problem because they think that's a quick fix. And it's never a quick fix because part of TMJ is it can be definitely you're wearing the joint out because you're grinding and clenching your teeth all night long from the sleep apnea. But when you're looking at that and you think, okay, so like I get patients that come in for their cleanings and we can tell they're grinding their teeth because they're wearing their teeth down. Okay. It's gradual, but over a period of years, we're going to see that evidence.
In their sleep?
Yes. And children do this with their baby teeth. So I have parents that have told me, I hear my son grinding his teeth across the house. And I'm like, he has an airway problem. Well, what do you mean? He can't breathe. Okay. He's grinding his teeth to open up the airway because they postured their jaw forward to try to get the airway opened. So if they're grinding their teeth, then we need to check them for sleep apnea. Okay. Or allergies.
Don't they have a retainer or something you can put in your mouth while you sleep to help?
So they teach in dental school to make a night guard.
A night guard. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah,
yes.
Night guard.
Does that work?
Sometimes. 50% of people do okay with them, but the other 50%, it makes them worse.
She's going to be Sherlock Holmes. I'm going to be Dr. Watson.
That's not a bad idea.
See? We'll go on. We'll take the gig on the road here, you know.
Yeah. So when you're checking people out, right, you're looking at what do you have? So I usually say, what's new? Because something's changed to make you call and come in. And what have you had for a while? Right? So we have a whole slew of questions we ask. Some people get very angry about my questionnaire list because there's like, oh, my God, you know, there's 100 things you're asking. I'm like, yes, because all of them are important. All of them play a role. And then what's been kind of going on? So some people have had cancer. They've had cancer treatment. What's their body like? So they start by typically those people aren't sleeping well. Okay. So they're depleted of certain nutrients in their body. And nobody's telling them to start replenishing that. Right, they're just eating normal food and they think they're going to be okay. And then you get the ones who are going to the alcohol, the cigarettes or something else, right? And they're just like, they gave up. It's like, I'm not going to live that long anyway. I'm doomed. And you try to point out that there are a lot of people who actually do better and they can live longer if they're really kind of concentrating on certain things. And then there's the ones that beat all the odds, right? So, you know, we have that bell curve of most in the middle. And then we have those individuals that are the outliers.
Let me ask you one more question, and then we'll wrap things up. Why? It's what some doctors don't know is what is it that the back muscles they refer pain to the teeth?
Yep.
We were talking off air about this, and it confuses people about where the pain is coming from.
Right. So dentists
address that, and then we'll wrap it up.
So dentists don't know this, and most physicians don't know this. So recently I had a woman who came in and everything hurt and she had seen 5 different doctors and she's like, nobody knows what's wrong. And she's like, they think it's TMJ. So they've been grinding on her teeth. Now she has no contact on one side because that's where she points. She points to one spot. And I said, where else does it hurt? Well, I had to start poking around to try to figure out. Turns out it was a muscle on the back of her neck. Okay.
Yeah.
And the back trapezius and scalene muscles off the shoulders, they will refer to the bottom teeth. And the ones in the upper part of the head refer to the upper teeth.
Fascinating.
It is fascinating. So I can actually numb up a muscle, and then the pain goes away in their tooth.
What about neuralgia?
So that's a big, broad...
Well, I know that's for a neurologist, but I mean, could that affect?
So pain in nerves, and they all kind of coalesce in the brain and the nucleus caudalis. I know that's a big, long word, right? But they all kind of come together before they shoot out and go somewhere else. And nerves leak chemical mediators. Mm-hmm. So if they're running side by side, if you have pain somewhere else in the body, that nucleus caudalis is getting, you know, they're leaking their chemical mediators, all the ones that go over to the face. And the face is one of the first places that people will say, oh, I have pain there. So I'm looking elsewhere. It can be in the bottom of your foot. It can be a knee. It can be a hip. Oh, yeah. So when I start looking at pain, like I understand you've got pain here. Where else do you have pain? But some people are just like blind to it. They don't even realize it. So I start poking. And then it's like, oh, yeah, that one hurts. Or where do they get the pattern of their headaches? Okay, is it coming up from the back of the neck? Is it coming up from the back of the skull? And of course, physicians call these all migraines. So everybody has a migraine. Well, is it a tension headache? Is it a true migraine? And pain, if it goes on long enough, kind of really shifts you over into sympathetic. And once again, we're back to the parasympathetic, sympathetic.
You bring up migraines, and it's interesting because I think more people nowadays have migraines than ever before. Not to say they've had migraines all along. I think I'm hearing more about migraines now than perhaps ever. Wow, we got to wrap things up. Every time we get together and do this show, it flies right by. Folks, if you'd like more information, head on over to theburlingtondentist.com. Theburlingtondentist.com. And now, remember I told you write down this phone number, but I don't want you to miss the show? Now you can use the phone number that I had you write down. And if you missed it, I'll repeat it for you. 860-673-7155. I'll give it to you one more time. 860-673-7155. For Dr. Bethany Brenner, I'm Gary Byron. Thank you so much for listening to The Sleep Show. Until next weekend, have a good one, everybody. So long.
You've been listening to the show that can help you with your sleep. It's The Sleep Show here on The Talk of Connecticut with Dr. Bethany Brenner from Burlington Dental in Burlington, Connecticut. If you have any issues sleeping with restless nights, as anyone knows who doesn't get the proper night's sleep, it throws off your whole day and your overall health. Listen to The Sleep Show every weekend at this time for a better night's sleep. You can always get in touch with Dr. Bethany Brenner by emailing drbrennerradio@gmail.com or by calling 860-673-7155. That's 860-673-7155. Or visit theburlingtondentist.com.